RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So last week and this week, we mentioned the local government of Port Hedland, Western Australia. They voted to call for the suspension of Moderna and Pfizer COVID vaccines due to concerns over synthetic DNA contamination. We've talked about that with Kate Ashby-Coppins a number of times. She's involved in a case in that regarding that in Australia before on this program. Coming on to the show now is Rebecca Barnett, who is a journalist based in Perth, writing at her Substack, Dystopian Down Under, and Rebecca was last on this program, I think back in May. Then we were discussing Australia's censorious e-safety commissioner, and Rebecca is back with us. Rebecca, welcome back to RCR. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so, and we know how it turned out for that case.
Yeah, just died, didn't it? A slow death. Yeah. Well, the way that Julie Immengrant has played that is that her mandate is to use funds responsibly, and given that she will definitely lose, that the way that she's backing down but saving face is she's saying, well, I have to use the public funds responsibly, and if I pursue this action, we don't have it's not a good use of funds, which is true.
Yeah, that's a tidy way of trying to put it to bed, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, this vote in Port Hedland, I think myself and many of our listeners right now to this radio station saw that as quite a thing to happen, kind of like some light coming in under the door at last, sort of. Is this in any way a big deal, either in Western Australia or Australia? Because I see that the premier's come down and basically told them to shut up.
Spread some misinformation, he did. So, yeah, I think it has the potential to be a big deal. I listened to the council meeting. So for listeners who don't know what happened, obviously there have been independent scientists around the world finding high levels of residual DNA contamination in the modified RNA shots. It's left over from the manufacture process. It's supposed to be allowed in a small amount, although because there's a gene therapy sequence, the SV40 enhancer promoter, in the Pfizer one, there's an argument that there shouldn't be any in there at all. The amount that's been found is over the regulatory limit. Now, recently, Dr. David Speaker, who's a Canadian scientist, tested some Australian vials, and this was for evidence for a court case that Katie Ashby-Coppins has probably come on and told you about, which is challenging the regulatory status of the modified RNA shots. So that report was provided to the TGA. They didn't reply. The report, however, came to the attention of the Port Hedland Council. Now, Port Hedland is one of our most important economic towns in Australia. It's a mining port town. So huge, huge money going through that town. So it's a small town of 16 or 17,000 people, but they have a very big impact politically and economically. So this council called a special meeting, a councillor called Adrian McRae, who also opposed the mandates and organized some action opposing the vaccine mandates in 2021 and 2, I believe. The motion was to join a federal MP called Russell Broadbent in calling for a complete cessation of the jab program until this contamination issue has been properly investigated. And the reason for that, and I'll just read you a summary, it says, we are gravely concerned about the potential health risks posed by synthetic DNA contamination, including the dangers of genomic integration, cancer, hereditary defects, and immune system disruption. So this is a statement that was co-signed by 52 leading scientists and academics, including the eminent oncologist, Angus Dalglish, and others. So some pretty big names signing this letter. The council took this to a motion to say, okay, we're going to join Russell Broadbent in calling for a stop to the shots. We're going to send a letter to every one of the 537 local councils in Australia. So just to be clear, we have local government, then we have state government, then we have federal government. So we're talking at the local government level. And they also voted to notify all health practitioners in that area of this issue, and they voted to also send letters to all the relevant health authorities and to the Prime Minister. This went through 5-2, so 5 councillors voted for it, including the only medical practitioner on the council who was a nurse called Lorraine Butson. And from there, it's just been a flurry of media reporting about how it's all been debunked. The Premier, Roger Cook, called them, well, he told them all to go back to their knitting. And Adrian McRae, he's a colourful character. He went to Russia before he was a councillor. He went to Russia to scrutineer the Russian election. He's actually scrutineered. Yeah. He scrutineered for a lot of elections, actually. It turns out to be a thing that he does. So
A hobby.
Yeah, he did, or a community service, let's say. Yeah. So he has a history of community service in this particular role. And he did go and do it for Russia, and he made international headlines when he when he said after the election that he thought it had been a very transparent and fair election. And, of course, all the media said, you can't say that about Russia. And so he was sort of persona non grata for having said what he believes he saw. Anyhow, Roger Cook then, you know, sort of insinuated that these councillors are flying all over the world to hang out in Russia and just talk about Russia things, like that would somehow discredit the science that was tabled at Port Hedland Council. So that, if that gives you a flavour of what's been happening.
It's interesting, the council you mentioned, right, Adrian McRae.
Yeah.
And obviously has a bit of, you know, history, a defiant history, let's say. Usually it's easy to paint one or two individuals as something and derail the whole thing. But 5-2's quite a vote. And so they must have won other people over who might have been more on the fence.
That's right. And there was one councillor in particular who I gathered was on the fence. So I listened to the council meeting, and the main argument against passing the motion, which the mayor who voted against it and one other councillor argued, was, well, this is public health. This is not our purview. We do rates. We do rubbish. We don't do public health. That's a federal and a state matter, which, you know, is true to a point, although some of the councillors did point out, well, we oversee kitchens and whether people are poisoning their food or not. So, you know, if people believe that there is a dangerous contaminant in something that our health practitioners are administering, we ought to address that. That was their argument. But another argument put forth was that, you know, these Port Hedland constituents have been disenfranchised because their interests are not being represented by the regulators, by the people charged with managing public health. Mm. And therefore, this is their last line of representation. And so there was a public statement time before the vote, and it went for quite some time, more than 45 minutes. And it was really striking listening to people coming forward and saying, you know, that they'd felt railroaded. I heard one Indigenous elderly gentleman say that he felt like they'd been treated like cattle by the state premier at the time, Mark McGowan. And so the tone from the constituents, I would say, was very much, if no one else will stand up for us and represent our interests, please will you. And one of the councillors who had been sort of on the fence, I don't remember his exact quote, but to paraphrase, it was something like he just said, well, I do believe that this vote is the right thing to do. All they're asking is for the regulator to investigate. That's it. They're saying, let's stop this and investigate. They're not, you know, it's not a big ask.
No, it's not. In fact, it's a common sense in any other area, including medicine, it would apply, wouldn't it, if there was perceived to be a, because DNA... Getting into DNA is a bit different than everything else, isn't it? This is a new thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is a new thing. I mean, they like to say it's not new because it's been studied for 40 years, which is true. It's been studied for 40 years. What hasn't?
But no one's ever been given a DNA altering.
Yeah, and they'll say before. It's not DNA altering, but the problem is they haven't done any tests to see if it is. So you would have probably seen. We know from Pfizer's non-clinical report, which had to be released under FOIP, Freedom of Information, because it's not like the regulator allows the public who paid for all of this to see any of the documents that we essentially own have access to. But it was released under Freedom of Information, the non-clinical report for the Pfizer vaccine. And it says in the document, no carcinogenicity studies required, not even required by the regulator before they approved, and no genotoxicity studies. So they're not it's not like it's something they've tested for and then they can say, oh, it doesn't do that thing. They're just saying, oh, it doesn't do it and there's no evidence. Well, yeah, there's no evidence because no one's tested it. Like, do you think we should test it? Yeah. Because there is evidence suggesting that it could happen. And that's an important distinction. So they like to call it a conspiracy theory and misinformation. The TGA was very clever. They issued a statement last week on Friday after we'd had a news cycle of this whole Port Hedland thing saying, oh, all these online reports spreading misinformation. And they said very sneakily, there's no evidence of Australian vaccines causing DNA integration. Now, the insertion of the word Australian there is interesting because there are vaccines from other countries that have been tested that are showing early probable evidence of integration. Those studies have been done by Kevin McKernan and Ulrika Kammerer. Hope I'm saying her name right. She, I believe, is from Germany. So those findings are very early. They need to be replicated. You know, it could have... You've got to replicate before you can solidly say, yes, this is definitely happening. But I just thought it was a very interesting choice of wording on the TGA's part, given that they don't, you know, their word massages are very good at saying a lot, like saying not a lot with a lot of words.
Rebecca, that would mean that, again, like you're just saying before, we haven't tested anything that came to Australia, so therefore...
Yeah, so three Australian vials have been tested.
It's okay right now.
That's right, yeah. So three Australian vials have been tested for contamination, but not for whether they're causing cancers. Like, no, there are no, I've never, ever, ever heard any vaccine-injured person say, oh, the TGA has contacted me. They want to run a biopsy on my tissues. I've now got cancer. I reported it to the TGA. They want to run testing on my tissues to see if there's been any integration of the vaccine DNA, which you can tell apart from...
Oh, you can?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So, no... TGA does no follow-up. They've got a whole cohort of people who've reported all these adverse symptoms, including cancers, to their database. They're not using any of those to test. So they're just saying that the people who have tested or are working towards testing are just wrong on the face of it because we said so.
Shutting it down still. Mm. Getting back to this Port Hedland Council vote. Will it ripple out in any sort of way that is meaningful, do you think?
I suspect so because I spoke at a community event on the weekend. I don't do a lot of those sort of things, but I think, you know, every now and then it's good to because actually, and what this Port Hedland vote has highlighted for me is that I don't think we're going to get change from the top. It's going to have to come from the bottom up because the people at the top just aren't interested. It doesn't matter how much data you show them. They're not interested for whatever reason. This incentive structure just isn't there for them to change tack at the present time. So anyway, I went to this event. It was related to Reignite Democracy Australia, which I don't have a lot to do with, but the chapter here in WA, I drop in on from time to time. And a lot of people approached me and said, I want to take this to my council. Where do I get the information? And there is a website going up, I believe, later today, and I can send it over to you so that you can share with your people listening because it may be of use as well in New Zealand. There is a website going up later today, which essentially just has like, this is what the motion was. This is the evidence that was referenced. Here's what you would do if you want to take this to your council. In Port Hedland, one of the things, I guess, that got it through is that the councillors were already on board or enough of them were on board to bring the motion. I think it would be very difficult to get a council to even bring the motion, let alone vote for it, if the whole council is not already open to the idea or if some on the council, rather, are not already open. Although, you know, potentially if you have a petition with 20,000 signatures in your local government area, then that's a strong mandate to put it forward. I'm not, yeah.
And sending out to 537 councils? The penny drops in some of them, you know?
Maybe, yes. So those emails are going out, I believe, over the next few days. I know that there's been a huge job of having to compile all the email addresses of not just every council CEO, but every single councillor in Australia. So I believe that's well over 500 or 600 email addresses that have been being compiled, ready for those emails to go out.
Your opinion on this. So mention the Western Australian Premier, Roger Cook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of Cookers. He's got the name Cook. Okay, so he's condemned the council's decision, saying, and it's the old line, vaccines essential for saving lives. And these people all seem to be the same, sing off the same song sheet. But if it comes from the bottom up, at what point do you think for like a Premier of Western Australia, do they realise that, you know, there's something here and there's nothing to be gained for me politically anymore, banging the old drum?
Right. So at the moment, due to the mayor of Port Hedland calling into every radio station that would have him in the days after the vote, the story that's been promulgated in the media is that these councillors and the 50 or so people who turned up and spoke from the heart at the council meeting don't represent the community. They're just conspiracy theorist activists, loons. The mayor called them a box of bloody Fruit Loops who have taken over the council. Yeah, not a great way to speak about your colleagues. That council, though, is very fractious. It has a history of high drama and is known for being fractious is probably the best way to say it. The mayor has had a vote of no confidence. The mayor tried to bring a vote of no confidence against Adrian earlier this year for the fact that he went to Russia when he wasn't a councillor. one of the mayor is suing one of the other councillors for something that he said during a council meeting. So you get the picture, but the mayor has very much presented the picture that these are Fruit Loops. They don't represent the community. I just don't know. There's no evidence for anything that he's saying, like that it was an open meeting. Anyone could have attended. So if you were against the motion, you could have come and said that you were.
Mm.
Yeah. So yeah, it's hard to see where he's getting that information from. I'm not going to comment on it more than that, but just to give you an idea, like that's how it's being framed. So I think for it to have any impact on the Premier, there would have to probably be more councils take this up, because at the moment it's really too easy, especially with the cooperation of the mayor, to just paint a picture of, oh yeah, those loopy activists just took over the council and now they're passing all these weird motions that have been debunked. And that's another thing in the media reporting, they're saying that the report has been debunked. It's not obviously true. There isn't any evidence to prove what Dr. Speaker found in the Australian vials is not valid. The ABC cited the wrong study, didn't link to the study, linked to a fact checker that they said had debunked the wrong study that the motion wasn't about. But then when I clicked through to the fact check, it didn't debunk anything. It just said that the EMA denied everything.
So they just think, someone thinks they can just say debunked and everyone thinks, well, that's debunked.
Okay. Well, I did a follow-up post on that actually on my Substack. What's the difference between a debunking and a denial? So the media is incorrectly using the word debunked when what they mean is officials denied that. And I finished at the end of it with a picture of Bill Clinton saying, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Like a denial doesn't mean like whatever. I mean, officials deny stuff all the time. I'm just like, can you prove it's wrong? So if you want to debunk something, you have to prove that it's false. We haven't seen that.
Because people easily say, oh, that's been debunked.
Yeah, what they mean
heard
is
the word.
A fact
they just heard the word. You know, that's all they've heard.
Yeah, what they mean is a fact checker called up the TGA or the FDA, and the FDA or the TGA just issued a statement.
Yeah.
Journalists should know better than that.
As if they would spill their guts in front of the fact checker. Anyway, okay, well, it's fascinating, isn't it?
Mm.
It's another brick in the wall or another stepping stone along the way or something.
Chip, 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 chip.
Yeah, yeah. What do they say about eating an elephant?
Yes, one bite at a time. It's a terrible metaphor, but my mum used to always say that.
And it takes forever, but hopefully you get there.
You get there.
All right, Rebecca Barnett, thanks for coming back on RCR. Really interesting to get that and where that story's at, because I say we've been following it for a week or so, but not in that detail.
No problems.
So thank you so much.
No problems at all. And when the website goes up with all the information for people to take this to their council, I'll send it through.
And we'll put it with the replay. We'll put it the link with the replay.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, okay. Rebecca. I'll hopefully talk again. All right.
No problems. Bye.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.